Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
Welcome to this week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. Sitting next to me on the couch is the other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
What if we just never watch The Prince of Egypt? What if it becomes The New Illusionist? Or The New Top Gun, for that matter.
But we ended up watching it. Top Gun.
Yeah, but like eventually. Like if we just
when are we watching The Illusionist?
We watched The Illusionist.
Oh, we did?
Yes, we did. With Augie.
I don't remember.
We wouldn't let him do the guest star thing unless he watched The Illusionist first.
Did I fall asleep?
No. We talked about it. It just was a very boring, worthless movie.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, that's why we're going to watch Prestige in like 3 months.
Wait, didn't we watch... I thought that was the movie that we watched.
No. This is hilarious.
It's Wednesday? Thursday? Friday?
It is Thursday.
Thursday.
The date is...
May...
Uh-huh.
16th.
I believe so.
Yes. 2024.
Yes. Why are you doing that? That's my job.
You weren't doing it.
We were still doing our introductory banter.
Chris.
What?
I'm over it.
Every week, all right, this is Married Movies. We're married. We watch movies. Today's movie. We made this like an 18-minute podcast.
How fast do you think we could do a podcast in?
Once we get the right movie... Like, we haven't hit the movie yet. Like, there's always something that opens up, like, another line of conversation in a movie. We need... I think, like, Captain Phillips probably could have been pretty close if we just didn't say, look at me for, like, 20 minutes.
Look at me.
I have given it thought of, like, restructuring the podcast and it being shorter and just more, like, categorical and less, like, conversational. Where we just go through, like, MVP, LVP.
Wait, but then does that mean I don't have to force conversation with you every week for like 45 minutes? Because that would be great. I'm all for it. Why haven't we done that? What is this weird,
like, antagonistic role reversal? Like, I was starting this podcast, I didn't even say anything negative to start.
Because this is what you do to me every week. So now you know how it feels.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, like, okay, exactly.
Yeah, because I'm funny when I do it. I don't like this bullshit Freaky Friday.
You're not funny when you do it.
That's I am funny when I do it. I am laughing inside every time I'm like, what do you think? Who cares? See, I'm laughing outwardly, too.
Uh-huh.
My guts are just chuckling.
Your gut's about to be in your nuts if you don't shut the fuck up.
That's a hernia. That means I have to like lift something heavy.
Yeah, I'm good at...
My back did hurt today, though.
Yeah, good.
Getting mentally prepared to carry you on this show. It works because this is a romantic comedy with, like, ha-ha, hee-hee, anger banter. So that's why we're doing this.
That's not why we're doing this. Come on. We've been anyone but Ewing now all the people out there.
I'm going to make a movie called Anyone But Ewing, and it's a girl who falls in love with everybody but Patrick Ewing.
Like, what was that movie that, the guy broke up with the girls and then they got engaged.
Good Luck Chuck?
Yeah. It's like that with this. We have been anyone but Ewing everyone for 486 episodes.
Very fair.
We've been making them think that we hate each other's guts. Or that we're married, but we actually hate each other's guts. Mm-hmm. We've been doing the opposite here.
Speaking of hate, this past weekend was Mother's Day. Terrible segue. But the reason why we're going that route, we had a great Mother's Day weekend, filled with tons of food and all kinds of fun. We went to see The Wizard of Oz in theater.
That was honestly so amazing. I love The Wizard of Oz. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
And it's a former best movie of the year at the Mullet Awards.
It's incredible. And I've talked about it on that episode. Mm-hmm. How many copies of the VHS I owned, and how often I watched it, and everything. And I've never in my life seen it on a screen like that. And it was so wonderful and special to be able to share it with not only my mom and you and my dad, but Jillian, and it was just really awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time, despite some seat confusion.
Ugh.
What I was getting at before that was Mother's Day weekend and hate. I want to give my daughter all the props in the world for the great job that she and she alone did during her theatrical debut.
Oh, God.
In the original play, Mystery at the Big Top, for her school's Drama Kids performance. I won't go off and bore you all with it, but as Samantha said, 486 episodes, 550 plus movies, correct?
Yeah.
What's probably the worst movie we've seen in this pocket? Like the Birdemic 3s and
Choices
and
Ford Fairlane,
Food Fight, you know, Pocket Ninjas, all those things. There's been plenty. Wild Wild West. Sneezed on all of them. They're all the worst movie ever. Sneeze one more time, because without question, the worst piece of entertainment I've ever seen in my entire life was this play that my poor daughter was in. We've rehearsed and practiced with her for weeks leading up to it, and not to toot our own horns, but we are both trained performers that have successfully auditioned for things and performed and been paid to make people laugh, correct?
Yes.
So we know what we're doing, and we prepared her well, and she is naturally gifted and talented and charismatic at these things. She was the only one. And this 15-page script ended up being like a 35-minute show of children just standing in a line, looking back and forth at one another, and talking somehow lower than their normal child voices, and forgetting to say each other's lines. I don't know what to do. I have to get it off my phone because it's probably taking up so much space and room now. It's just 37 minutes of nonsense. Yeah, if anybody from Drama Kids in Claremont, Florida is listening to this, fold your business and get hit by a car. Because you hose us for so much money and have emboldened me to seek out other options for my daughter to perform and go to school and do everything, because I'm not going to let her be wasted by your lack of ability. Yeah, I just had to get that off my chest. It was a lot more animated and angry in the moment when everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just wanted to put that out there.
I put that out of my mind. Like I blocked it out that I had to go through that agony.
So we have a lot. So Andrew Zengri, friend of the show, former guest of the show, will be here this weekend for a little couple day visit. We have a busy weekend. We have our yard sale Saturday and Sunday, which is always, you know, fruitful for us. We're probably going to go out to the theater to see If as a family along with him, because he's excited to see it. And yeah, going to have all kinds of other fun. He's mentioned it's the season finale of SNL as well, Saturday night, so we might want to watch that. We might want to watch one of the two movies that I'm about to nominate after we get finished talking about today's movie. But I want to force him to sit and watch it as well. I think if we watch it as well, it'll be like therapeutic to just be like, all right, we don't have to watch this again until she's 18, 24, you know, until like we're dead, hopefully. That will honestly, if hell is a thing, I think that honest to God would be my hell, is just being in that room watching that show on repeat for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be a better person just to make sure that doesn't happen. So with my luck, that's the thing.
Oh, boy. Chris, I don't know if you have enough time to make up.
Fair.
For everything that you've done.
Man, I'm going to be so nice to everybody from here on in. Trust me.
You know, that includes...
No, you're, you know, I'm doing a good deed by being mean to you. I don't know what that means.
What?
Today's movie is Anyone But You. I think this may be the quickest turnaround in this podcast history from release to watching on the show. This came out over Christmas.
I think we had something that was closer.
It's got to be up there.
I think
we. Well, I guess Scoob technically counts because Scoob was like we bought it via streaming.
Yeah, streaming.
So it was like immediate, but like this is up there, one of the top two or three.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you nominated this, so but it's my turn. New reading challenge: 0-0, first to 25, clean slate. Almost fucked up saying the word slate, so not a great start. But it's a marathon, not a sprint. So here we go. Anyone But You, from the director of Easy A and Friends with Benefits. One of the best romantic comedies in years, says Daniel Baptista, the movie podcast.
Oh, I can't.
Electrifying Chemistry, says Shabazz Siddiqui, the movie podcast. How many people are on the movie podcast? B and Ben look like the perfect couple, but after an amazing first date, something happens that turns their fiery hot attraction ice cold, until they find themselves unexpectedly thrust together at a destination wedding in Australia. So they do what any two mature adults would do, pretend to be a couple. Sexy, steamy, and a great time, says Shabazz Siddiqui, the movie podcast.
Oh, how's
three reviews on this all from the movie podcast?
They couldn't get anyone else.
Like, this didn't get, like, great reviews, but I do think it was in, like, the 50s on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, there was enough people that, like, liked it, or, like, were okay with it, to be like, I don't know what the movie podcast is. That's the most generic fucking thing I've ever
like,
heard.
Like, we're a movie podcast.
Well, we're not the movie podcast.
That's our problem.
They changed the name of the show to The Married with Movies Podcast. Sort of rivalry with these fucking people.
Let's do it.
All right, so I got one. Hey,
great start for me.
Considering the name is Shabazz Siddiqui, I'll take it.
Let me see. How the fuck do you see that? That's so small.
No, no, that's...
That's real tiny. Yeah.
So, we almost saw this in theaters, I feel like, two or three times.
Yeah.
Like, we had, like, a date night or, like... Like, Jillian was at school, and, like, it was a holiday for work or something. We're like, hey, you want to go see It Won't Be You? And we're like, yeah. And then like, we're just like, nah, we're good. We'll go do something. We'll wait. And that's why the comedy and romantic comedy in theaters are dead. Because it's like, I don't... It's great to see a comedy in theaters when you have, like, a room full of people laughing, enjoying themselves, having a good time. I don't think necessarily that would have been the case with this movie. But,
You're such a cynic.
It's just more comfortable and easy to do at home.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And I'm fine with that because this was... I've never immediately seen a movie and been like, yeah, I totally get why that got the response that it did. Just like one of those like... What is the actual score on Rotten Tomatoes? I'm going to look it up. I think it's like in the 50 to 60 range.
Which
we've talked about on the show a lot. That's actually what IF is currently at right now. IF is currently at 55%.
You're going to love it or you're going to hate it?
Oh, good. We're fucked.
Why?
The Strangers Chapter 1 is at 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
We should probably...
We have nothing else.
Drop that.
I mean, it's too late now because it's 24 hours and we just dropped something else. So.
What else did we drop? You didn't consult me.
No, the one from before, when we picked up Sing Sing.
Oh.
So we're at the bottom of the list anyway. I'm thinking of Johnny and Jess. They re-picked back up The Crow. Anyone But You. Sorry, Inside Baseball. Anyone But You on Rotten Tomatoes is a 53%.
Yeah. Real middle of the road. It's going to appeal to some people. It's not going to appeal to others. And I'm pretty sure we're going to cover both of those points of view on the show. Because it seems like you loved it.
No, I...
Yeah, no, I'm aware. Oh. I was kidding.
I couldn't touch your sarcasm.
Fucking idiot.
It...
Look, I loved parts of this movie.
There is nothing...
I will watch this movie all
Oh,
day.
Trust me. Oh, no. Are we going to get into that already? Yeah. No, I'll watch this movie a lot. By myself.
On you.
No, this would be fine. If I'm going to do that, I'm just going to put on Euphoria. That's easier. Because it's not worse than under the pretenses of being illegal on that show. But they're not. It's fine. It's okay. What?
Oh my God.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay.
This is a romantic comedy formula upon formula. Like,
sure is.
There's nothing. It's based. I did not realize this until somebody shared this with me. It's
based on Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, I had no idea. And someone's like, "Oh, you know, Anyone But You is the highest grossing Shakespeare adaptation of all time." I'm like, "Fuck off, really?"
Yeah.
And technically, which just shows Shakespeare doesn't equal box office, because this did eventually good. It sputtered out of the gate and it had amazing legs. Not just Sydney Sweeney. Her legs aren't the thing you want to look at.
I mean, I'll look at her legs. I don't care. She's got nice legs.
Oh, she's got nice everything.
Well, I'm aware of that, yes.
Except certain line delivery. certain. She's not as bad as people will say. She's actually on my MVP list for this movie for a multitude of reasons. Two big reasons.
You're such a dick.
But it's like right out of the gate, too. Like, there's not any... Can you pinpoint, like, one plot point or moment in this movie or anything where it's like, ah, I feel like I haven't seen that somewhere else before. Or I'm surprised as to what happened.
So,
mm-hmm.
I think you can't say that it's an adaptation of a famous Shakespeare play and say, but it also had things that I haven't seen before.
I think it's a loose adaptation. And by the way, the most adapting it is throwing out there these cute little lines artistically throughout the thing.
The whole basis of a love-hate relationship is based on the Much Ado About Nothing.
So I don't know that play.
That's not their problem. That's your problem.
I still felt...
You can't say, like, oh, The Lion King is based off of such original ideas when The Lion King is Hamlet. What's the difference? Because it's animated and it's got a talking bird? Like, no.
No.
It's a loose adaptation of it, but it's still an adaptation of it. There are no new ideas. There will never be new ideas anymore. We can go the rest of our lives, mm-hmm. and there will not be any more new ideas in Hollywood. I hate to tell you. It's going to be based on something.
I... see what you're saying. However, I hold fast.
Okay.
My statement.
You're entitled.
Are you on the same wavelength as I am about this in terms of the overall quality and enjoyment of the movie?
Look, man, I don't come to a movie like this to think. I think that's also part of it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think that's also part of it is like, and I think we've talked about this before on the show, is, like, knowing what you're going in, knowing what you need to expect from a movie mm-hmm. like this, right? If this was Christopher Nolan directed, or a movie from J.J. Abrams, like, I'd have a different point of view on it.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me the movies that this guy did.
Easy A and Friends with Benefits.
Right. I'm not expecting a whole lot.
No, but from Easy A. So we weren't the biggest fans of Easy A,
which
a
was
lot
also
of people
an adaptation.
Are, right, of The Scarlet Letter.
Of The Scarlet Letter.
And Friends with Benefits, which I'm sure is some bullshit something or other. It's just, I don't know. I couldn't even come up with a joke. That movie's so boring and random. That with this guy's pedigree, I was expecting with the stars and their charisma, just something a little more than what it was. I still chuckled at some parts, but this wasn't a laugh out loud funny movie. The best thing this movie could do for its male and female audience, I feel like, was just show them fucking. Which there was only one really good scene of that.
You're
been more.
So mad.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be more.
It was also about the deep emotional connection that they made.
Over grilled cheese. Now, I will say.
That grilled cheese looked fucking delicious.
It wasn't a chef grilled cheese.
But look.
But if either one of those people on a first date take me to their place and are making a grilled cheese, you could suck my asshole out of me.
Wow.
Like fucking Winifred Sanderson. Just... Just imagine my butthole coming out of my being, my body. I'm going to make that.
No one wants to imagine that.
Hocus Pocus movie. Porn parody.
I hate
with
you so
win much. Ahead.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm trying to make this funny because this movie was not funny. So we have win ahead.
Chris, but no, make Henderson. This movie funny.
I have to go back in time and write it and direct it. No, it's...
You give yourself a lot of credit.
I do think... So, I think the movie is funniest with physical comedy, which is not what I was anticipating. So, like, I think Sydney Sweeney does a really good job.
She does a great job.
Especially early on, and then it kind of goes away for a little bit, and then with the...
With that airplane scene, and she's, like, trying to take the cookie.
The airplane scene, trying to take the cookie and hearing the song, and then even before that, when she spills a drink on her, and she's, like, up in the air with, like, her pussy, like, trying to dry off in, like, the bathroom.
She was trying to dry her jeans, Chris.
Yeah, but it was right on her crotch.
Yes, I'm aware of where it was.
I just wanted to say the phrase, dry your pussy.
Okay.
Hey, Mom. The case... like, that stuff was funny, but all of the, it's been a while, I feel like, since that's been, like, the funnier thing in a movie. Most comedies nowadays are all about the dialogue and the verbal wit and the humor that arises from, you know, your line-o-ramas and your improv, and this movie really didn't deliver in that. I felt like it was a pretty ho-hum script, and a lot of people to me didn't kind of rise to the challenge of making this movie funnier than it should. This movie's got a lot of people in it too.
It does. That's something I was gonna say. I feel like there's too many
people. Because you figure you have our two principals, right? Our two leads. Then you have the people that are getting married, why they're at the wedding, how they are joined together. Then you have both of their parents, so you have four more people
there. And then you have the brother.
The best man and best friend.
Uh-huh.
Then you have both exes. One of the exes brought somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just too many people to fucking juggle.
So many people to juggle.
And none of them, except for a couple, kind of stand out in their minor characters.
Yep.
And they don't really have, like, you think of all the big comedies of the past 15, 20 years. It's all that, like, frat pack crew extended through, you know, the IO and UCB and... improv, SNL field, right? Like, think of a movie like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Think of a movie like I Love You, Man, right? So you have your two principals, and it's a big fucking cast, right? But all those people have a deal and, like, are able to, like, throw their reps around. So Rashida Jones gets her shit in. Joe Latriglio gets his shit in. Jon Favreau gets his shit in. Fucking, what's his name? Tevin. I forget the guy's name. Rob Hubel. He gets his shit in. You know what I mean? Like, they all have stuff to do, and in this movie, those characters don't, or when they do, there's not it's funny just, or good
and
at it.
And it's, they're all doing the same thing. It's not like they all have different deals. It's like,
they're all
doing the same thing.
Which is trying to get these two people together.
To stop being assholes to ruin the wedding, right?
But they're also, like, wink, wink, doing it.
Yeah.
Well, they're already been discovered that they're doing it because they're bad actors. And I thought that part, like, that part was okay. Like, when they are, they're bad acting setting up the movie, it's immediately snuffed out. Like, I thought that was very well done from Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney's end.
Yeah.
But then it just, like, kept going throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And there was never any other conflict or issue at hand besides Sydney Sweeney's parents being overbearing and, you know, her being scared of telling them she dropped out of school and also them bringing her ex-boyfriend there. And all that stuff for me was all big, like, skip energy. Like, I couldn't care less about...
Couldn't care less.
About any of it. Because I felt it was particularly poorly acted. Which we'll get to a little bit. But there's just so many moving parts. Like, Sydney and her sister... All their former partners that we talked about, all this, like all the Australia stuff, like you know, ha-ha, he-he is in Australia kind of weird with this one guy and the ex-girlfriend. There's just hot tits everywhere, so I'm distracted. you made out okay.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
There's a full-blown, like, pee hole in this movie. When it was started.
No. Yeah, because that's why I watch movies, Chris. Let me tell you. The aesthetic of a pair of, like, really nice breasts is very different than the aesthetic of the tip of a penis that is being squished in a guy's hand. I didn't make out okay. I'd rather see the tits on the screen. Like,
I'm not gonna lie. When,
cause I was shocked, to be quite honest.
So, with the movie, now when, like, the movies, like, the DVD start, it always has, like, the, this movie has been, you know, reviewed by the MPAA, and it, like, reiterates the rating. And in there, it had, like, R, and it always tells you what it is, and it said, brief graphic nudity. I was like, God damn, are we gonna get, like, a Glenn Powell butthole shot? Love or, it. Like, Sydney Sweeney showing vag in this again? And then, like, all of a sudden, this guy's, like, Australian guy showering off. I'm like, oh, we're gonna see this guy's dick, aren't we? That's fine, whatever. But no, it's just, like, a close-up of him, like, squish, like you just said. Did he, like, squish his dick to talk? Is it, like, his penis was saying something? Like, yeah. Hey!
Hey, mate.
Hey, buddy. This guy's dick.
The dingo ate my baby. Like, it's ridiculous, man. I don't want to see a dick scene.
All right, never mind. This movie's got an extra point for me. Like, you doing that. Like, yeah, there's just so much going on. There's, I think, the weirdest stretch of the movie for me, which is saying something, is when, like, so they're in Australia, and, like, it's, like, the first night. They're playing that, like, what was that charades game they were playing?
I don't know.
It's like a form of charades, like in teams, where they're getting answers from other people. I don't know. And so, like, when that's going on, at the same time, the firework mishap takes place. And the model is taking her dress off to put the
fire out.
And the family immediately is conspiring afterwards, while what's his name is playing the piano in different ways. I'm like, this is just really odd. And it's not odd in, like, a creative or unique or interesting way. It's odd as if, like, why is this happening? Like, why is this where the story in the movie is going? You know, it's kind of unbelievable. Did you have any other scenes like that where were, like, confused or particularly, you know, unhappy with what was happening?
I just still am trying to figure out why the guy was talking with his dick.
Okay, you're still on Beau's dick. Okay,
I'm still on Beau's dick. I was also just trying to figure out what Beau was saying, honest. Yes, I'm aware.
Had that guy been in, like, three or four scenes, I feel like he would have been a bigger MVP there because I really liked him. He was the side character, like, he had an established deal and it was funny. And then he just disappeared, like, literally, there's, like, a throwaway line, like, oh, where's Beau? It's like, oh, he buggered off.
Yeah.
And then he was just gone. We never got to, you know. Yeah,
I wish he went, like, surfing in his, like, tux or whatever.
Sure.
But I wish that there had been more of him because I feel like that would have heightened a lot more of what was going on, especially, like, the tensions between, like, B and Ben and Margaret and all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with you, with the points that you've made, about it.
Now,
the scenes.
I do feel like, for the most part, all the scenes kind of naturally devolve into the two of them just bickering and bantering back and forth. And for the most part, I felt like they each did a really good job
at that. I think they have great chemistry.
They have fantastic natural physical chemistry, obviously.
Well, I mean, what?
How can you not?
Look, come on.
But
yeah, they have great physical chemistry. I thought that they had great chemistry. And I feel like, and I know that, like, it's cliche to be like, oh, well, like, that's always what happens. And, right, like, it's the love-hate thing and stuff. But trust me, like, that kind of trope sells, you know? Like, that's one of the biggest rom-com, like, enemies to lovers, enemies to friends to lovers, the fake dating, all of those tropes. Can't even tell you how many books I have, like, with them. And they work. They do.
It would work in this movie for me more than it kind of still does, based on, like we said, just the two of them being good at what they do, if they had just some dressing around it to spruce it up, and if it had a stronger script or some funnier lines.
And I don't think you needed both X's. Had one X been there and it been, like, more, you think?
I mean, to make it balanced, because then what is, then one character's, what's the first thing I'm looking for? One character's motivation is going to be significantly different than the other. I like that they were different.
You didn't need the overbearing parents and the ex-boyfriend.
That is.
Had you had the overbearing parents?
I think that's why, that's a good point.
And then you had the ex-girlfriend only? Sure. I think that balanced it enough.
Just the
girlfriend
and the guy,
you didn't need the parents too. I think there were two things are fine.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it would balance it and it would give them motivations and everything. Yeah. It was too many things that detracted from what they were trying to move along with that relationship.
I think it also didn't help that in B's case, there's not a universe in this galaxy where this Dave Franco, Skyler Kern, Patrick Hart-looking motherfucker with his big, gangly everything could ever get Sydney Sweeney.
They've been ever. Best friends. They were neighbors. Great. Boy next door.
Good.
The moment those
things came in, she's on the back of a motorcycle with somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, I just that guy has no idea what he's doing with that.
Mm-hmm.
No idea whatsoever. None. I know guys, that doesn't work.
You don't, I don't think you know as much as you think you know.
I think I'm right in this case. I think I just nailed this one, kind of good. My favorite part of the movie, we were kind of tiptoeing around it earlier when we were talking about the physical comedy, is the whole, like, butt feel spider strip scene. But also because...
Hilarious.
Everyone else is distracted by this fucking seemingly stoned koala.
Fucking amazing.
That koala.
That was my favorite scene of the movie. That
koala
as well.
Was fucking dope.
That koala was hilarious, and I love, like, yo, we're not gonna take your spirit. Yeah. No pictures.
Yeah, I was very happy with that. And then stuff just gets long in the tooth. It's just repetitive and redundant. The Titanic scene, you know, was a nice scene to kind of escalate and set off the two of them kind of rekindling what they had. I think the helicopters, the first helicopter scene, because the second and third helicopter scene are just preposterous. The helicopter scene could have worked better if they didn't lay out all of, like, everything beforehand. Like, if they just kind of have less of a time on, what is that, a buoy, or what's...
Yeah, it's a buoy.
Time on the, like, you know, dishing their stuff out on the buoy, and it just goes straight into them getting rescued.
Her singing.
And him freaking out. Like, that's the moment right there. Where they kind of connect, and they can share...
And then you share that stuff on the helicopter. Or something.
Or you don't even need to share. You share it when they're over the grilled cheese later. Like, you space it out. It's all still decent stuff, but it was all just very...
The pacing was a bit off.
The script, to me, really is... It's a poorly paced movie. It's an overly directed movie. I think the movie looks fantastic, but, like, you don't need... Like, they did some artsy-fartsy thing, like we already talked about the quotes from Much Ado About Nothing. Also, like, the credits were artsy-fartsy. I like the ending credits. Like, it was cute that they, like, all sang... Unwritten and like all their different like, scenes and stuff. And,
yeah, that was cute.
But it still was like it was just kind of like fucking, you know, kind of out there and weird. But yeah, but at this point, then they fuck. And I'm like, whatever. This is hot. It works. Like,
I wasn't upset.
Like, had the movie ended, like, literally, had the movie just been like, and like they go to the wedding and like they just, like, they're together now, I've been like, yeah, fine. Like, that would have been something different. You know what I mean?
Fantastic.
Like, yeah, I'm fine with that. Let's just keep watching these two fuck each other. Like, this is fine. But no, instead, it does the typical things break down in an even more ridiculous manner. And it's all very anticlimactic. Like, like, the disagreement, or, like, the way that they fight is just from the two of them, like, saying things they don't really mean for whatever fucking reason, mm-hmm. and it getting overheard or told to people they didn't want to know, and then they make good enough to get through the wedding, and, yeah, I think the end of this movie is the biggest mess of it all, is that it all kind of in 20 minutes just kind of, like, works itself out in, like, the most boilerplate rom-com way.
Yeah.
Without
It's a happy ending for everybody.
But it's not even necessarily a happy ending for everybody. It's a happy ending where things are just jumping. Like, we already talked about, like, there's no proper send-off for, like, the Beau character. Things I feel like are just, like, resolved so, like, easy-peasy, like, without any concern from one line to the next. Like, things are getting called back that didn't necessarily play off with the first place. Like, we talked about the bad acting, overhearing stuff, or, like, gets brought back up mm-hmm. to, like, re-engage him to go, like, chase off and find her. She just kind of leaves wherever. Also kind of point out, who the fuck gets married? And the only people at their table are just their parents. That's weird. That's just weird. You either, like, what we did, we just had a table for just the two of us. Great. Perfect. We're going to be there the rest of our lives. Why not start now? Or, in other weddings I've been to, normally, the bridal party, whoever the groomsmen and the bridesmaids are at the table. Mm-hmm. Not the two of them and then their four parents. That's just weird.
I guess. I mean, but someone had to pay for all this and it wasn't the two of them, I'll tell you what.
But that doesn't mean just they paid for it, you get to invade our personal space on our wedding day?
Pretty sure that's exactly what it means.
Thank God your parents didn't do that. Shock, mine didn't. but yeah, the ending, like, the helicopter coming back and, like, picking him up and taking him where he needs to go is just ridiculous. It's not even that clever of, like, a come-together, make-good scene. Like, it's just...
It's supposed to be mimicking what the dad did to follow the mom, but, like, you didn't even really establish...
Didn't get that at all.
Well, because he said, like, he jumped off a moving train mm-hmm. to see the Eiffel Tower because love is love when you know you know. Mm-hmm. That's what it was supposed to mimic, but you didn't even really see that much of a love story between the parents for it to be warranted that this is a big romantic gesture that he's doing.
And I like both. I really, really liked the Australian dad. I thought he was...
Hilarious.
I think he was probably, like, the actual funniest character in the movie.
Hilarious.
I thought he was very
funny.
When
he was whispering, he's like, mush mouth, oh, I'm shit at this, or, like, whatever. It was just
like, he hilarious. Was actually, he might be my MVP, I'm not gonna lie. I thought he was great.
He was really funny.
And then fucking Michelle Hurd from The Grave, fucking season one Law & Order SVU up in this bitch. Like, yeah, they were really sweet and, like, cool together. Much better. Let's just get into it. Fucking B's parents were by far the worst part of this fucking
movie.
Which
is sad because Dermot Mulroney...
I think Dermot Mulroney had a stroke in the middle of filming this
but
movie.
But, like, isn't he, like, a romantic comedy guy?
Well, I mean, you figure he's the guy in My Best Friend's Wedding.
Sure.
I mean, Dermot Mulroney has been, a great actor for many, many years. He has some of the weirdest energy and line deliveries.
His face is weird.
I have ever seen in a movie.
His face always been weird?
Well, his face is just getting old, but it was always kind of, like, weird. That's why I always prefer Dylan McDermott. Shout out to all those Dylan McDermott versus Dermot Mulroney people.
I thought it was Dylan McDermott for a second. And I was like,
you don't remember the SNL sketch, Dylan McDermott versus Dylan McDermott? No, I will fuck that up right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a stroke. I thought he was bad. I still lean towards the mom. I have no idea what she was going for every time she opened her mouth. Every time she spoke, I was like, do you hate your daughter? Or are you in love with your daughter? Or, like, do you even know that that's your daughter? Like, I could not tell you from her tone and what was coming out of her mouth what her deal was any single time she spoke to Sydney Sweeney. Or her husband, for that matter. For the reason I lean towards her versus Dermot Mulroney is, while I think he had louder moments of being bad, he also had, like, a couple moments, like, when he's, like, All right, his fake dives into the water were very funny.
Oh my gosh, those were fun. He had some good physical comedy.
Yeah, like physical comedy in this movie fucking works so much better than like a lot of the other ones. Like,
and you know why? You know why I think it is? Because it makes it feel more authentic. Because, like, that's real. You know what I mean? People, like, dive in. Like, if you had to dive, like, you would probably do that. If you, like, were going to try to dive into a pool.
Sure, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, it just feels more real.
Yeah.
And not as put on as a lot of the other stuff that's happened.
Absolutely. My other LVP I have was the guy who played the brother. I think his name is Gaeta?
I don't know if it's him.
I think it's
him. Or the role. I think it's him.
That role, that should be like the breakout, almost like Russell Brand for Getting Sarah Marshall role.
You're right.
He's never as funny as he should be in that role. He always feels like he is trying way too hard, especially when him and Glenn Powell are talking. That's where it really highlights. Like, when he's with the Australian dad's carrying the weight, and it's totally fine. Not saying that Glenn Powell doesn't carry him well enough, but the onus is more so on Gaeta in those scenes to, you know, be the funny one, move stuff along. Glenn Powell's just kind of reacting to him. He's responding, you know, with hyperbole or shock or excitement or sadness, whatever it may be. And he's just all over the place. The best he does in this movie is when he's whispering at the koala, which again is like to me giving him a little bit longer.
Like the koala is like.
I mean, the koala is even carrying the scene.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with any of the three of those people, unless you had somebody else to bring into the mix. There's other people. Wasn't a big fan of her ex boyfriend. Because like I said, I think that's mostly just because, like.
He's just a dweeb.
It's just hard to listen to him and look at him.
I wasn't a fan of Margaret either.
I didn't like her acting as well.
I didn't like her acting. And I also don't like her choice of bikini. What kind of fucking bikini was that?
I was fine with the bikini. I have no comments on the bikini. But I don't think any of them are as bad as the other three people we mentioned. So I'll let you kind of decide who we're going with here. I'm going to disqualify Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, just from his physical comedy alone, yes. I think that saves him. I'm going to go with the mom then.
The mom was the one I really, really did not like. I looked at this movie on Wikipedia. I wrote, anyone but one. This was what I wrote. Rachel Griffiths. Why do I feel like I know that actress? What has she been in? Oh, she was in My Best Friend's Wedding. She was in Muriel's Wedding. Oh, she's been nominated for Best Supporting Actress before.
Well, not for this.
All right, 6 Feet Under. Oh, that's where I know her. Yeah, she was, to me, not good. So she will be the LVP of this movie. All right, people who I don't think are MVP or LVP. I kind of liked Alexandra Shipp in this a lot.
I like Alexandra Shipp in this a lot, too.
I mean, I like her in pretty much anything I've seen her in. She was good in Tick, Tick, Boom. She was one of the rare, decent parts
She's good
in X-Men
Storm,
Apocalypse. Yeah. So I think she was a good kind of, like, quote-unquote, ha-ha, he's straight man in this.
Yep.
In terms of, like, what her character needed to do.
And I, like, felt her, right? Like, she's, like, super anal retentive.
Yeah, like, she felt real. Same thing with
Hallie, the sister.
I thought they had a good relationship. One thing I can appreciate about the movie is their only fight, quote-unquote, was a put-on fight, which was very, very see-through when it happened. There was no conflict with those characters. We were able just to, they were just in love, there was no issues.
It was a good counterbalance
exactly.
to the conflict that we experienced with Bea and Ben. Yes, 100%. I agree with that.
I mean, I think either the MVP has to be, if we're not going to give it to the father of Claudia and Pete, it's either Sydney Sweeney or Glenn Powell. Now, a lot of people were down on Sydney Sweeney's performance in this movie based off of, like, the trailer and a lot of the scenes that were, like, out there prior to the movie coming out because she did have kind of a off wooden delivery in some of those lines. It was not as bad, I felt like, in the full movie as it was in some of those scenes. And we already talked about her physical comedy being pretty superb. Physical blank being pretty superb. Glenn Powell, needless to say, one of the most charismatic people in the world.
Yeah.
I will say, though, he was not as good as I thought he was going to be in this environment. I thought he was going to have so many, like, great sardonic one-liners or quips that were just, like, biting and funny, and he just didn't, like, him and Sydney Sweeney had a good, like, tete-a-tete back and forth, but if it's tete-a-tete, she's always going to win that. But for me, like, so I wanted, he was good, I wanted something more.
You know why?
Why?
Because he played such a good antagonist in Top Gun Maverick, and it felt so natural and charismatic when he did it. Like, he was the kind of antagonist that you're like, you love to hate that kind of antagonist, and he brought it, and
I feel like he's holding back in this.
Exactly. He's holding back. He's trying to have that same kind of biting wit without being an antagonist, right? Because you can't be an antagonist. You can't have him be an antagonist in this movie because then it loses the whole point of this movie.
Well, even when he's like minorly antagonistic, so like when you figure like the first scene, like when of course like they have a great night, she sneaks out, but then she comes back, and then he's slamming her to Pete. Like the way that he's like delivering those lines, like if he had done that in a way where like he was like so like pompous and into himself, it still would have fit the character because we know from what we've seen that he actually doesn't mean that. He's doing a put on for his friend, and in every moment we kind of get there, he's like at a seven when like. If he's at the 9 or a 10 he is in Top Gun, it's fine. But the problem is then he doesn't hit either extreme. He doesn't hit that extreme. And then when we see him being a sweet guy or when we see him, you know, being his true self or, like, coming to the realization, like, even when, like, he realizes with Margaret, like, he doesn't want Margaret anymore, he still feels, like, a little, like, reserved and almost, for lack of a better term, kind of like a bitch. I'm like... Yeah, like, own it a little bit more. Be a little bit more, like, emotional. Mm-hmm. It's, there was something,
something that was missing.
It's more so his aura and his presence that's, like, the MVP of the movie. Like, if it had been anybody else, this movie, I think, really would have been really bad.
I agree.
So.
His delivery could have been better, but he still did a good job. And I'm going to blow this picture up and put it on our ceiling in our bedroom.
No arguments. We just have to
put I look like that.
Put it upside down. I wish I looked like that too. I'd look great with tits. so we have caveats to both people. So should it be either person?
No.
So are we just gonna go with the dad? If we give it to Brian Brown, I'm fine with that because he literally in a romantic comedy was the funniest part of the movie.
He was really funny as a supporting character.
And those are the characters you remember in these movies. Mm-hmm. And he also, when that scene I was talking about was really odd, where like they're all coming together and figuring out what we need to do, he kind of led that scene. Even at the end when he was like trying to get them all back together, like I think he had some emotional resonance to the movie as well. We're going to give it to Brian Brown. Or his name's Brian Beach, what the fuck?
And he had a couple really good lines.
Yeah.
Too, in it, just like, really put him over the top for me here. And like you said, it's not like they did a bad job. I think this movie would have been probably unwatchable if anyone but Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell were in either one of those roles. They made it watchable, but...
With their individual talents, they should have been able to make this movie even better than what it was.
Absolutely.
What they did together was still ultimately some of the best parts of the movie. Yeah. And that's not an indictment, but it's also not heaping praise on it. Like, oh man, Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney are so great in the movie. It's like, you see any movie? Yeah, they did their thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's as far as I can kind of go with it.
Like, yeah.
No, yeah, God.
Oh, I gotta update my list.
Oh, yeah, on my mail for me too.
Who? Both of them?
No, just Sydney Sweeney. Oh. just Sydney Sweeney.
Is she not already on your list?
I don't think she's come up before.
Oh, right.
Also, because it took me a while to come... This is going to sound really, really fucking vain. But she has this thing about her face where, like, she's...
You should probably just stop talking. No, I don't care what you're going to say. Don't say anything.
No. It's not that bad. It's like her face still hasn't matured to be an adult yet. You know what I mean? It's the same thing I have with Chloe Grace Moretz. Like, I will always see Chloe Grace Moretz as a 13-year-old girl. In fact, I'm like, no, thank you. For Sydney Sweeney, like, okay, she's obviously, like, legal. But it's still like, yeah, he should grow up a little bit there. Everywhere else, no notes, but, you know.
You're probably the worst person that I know.
That was fine. That's just an honest-to-goodness, like, not critique, an assessment that I made.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Because she has a baby face.
That's the... Man, that's how I should have put that, huh?
Yeah, probably.
What
do I have to do
to
get some of these... workouts on the Body by Tope shtick that you're on here.
To look like who?
To look like Glenn Powell. Do those like...
I don't want you looking like Glenn Powell.
No, I want you to look like...
Oh, you're talking about what he's doing on the beach.
Yeah,
what he's doing
on the beach.
Oh, man, fuck that.
What do I have to do to get Tope to make those a part of your routine so you can look like Glenn Powell?
Move us to Australia.
Okay. I can work anywhere. I mean, I think it'd be cool. Have you ever wanted to go? You've never been to Australia, right?
No. What have I been to? When would I have been to Australia?
I don't know. I don't know in your other life.
Australia is probably on my, you know, I'm not a big, the only reason I want to do international travels, man.
It's for the food.
No, I want to go on one of them planes. On those planes. It's got like fucking 8 seats in a row. I've always wanted to be on a plane like that.
I fucking hate you.
Man, I'm
going to
be on a plane for 15 hours. It sounds like fucking misery and fun at the same time. No, so international travel,
guts.
Australia, Italy, I wouldn't mind going to Japan.
I wouldn't. It's too busy for me. I wouldn't.
I'm for the food and for like some
what
of the culture
food?
Shock stuff.
What food? You don't need any food that they eat.
Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also want to go for like the culture, like the wrestling stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I want to
go
to Ribera Steakhouse.
Eat some sushi when you're there?
No, they have like fucking noodles and rice in Japan. I'll be fine.
I hate you so much, Chris.
I want to go to England and visit your family and, you know, see that. So
we should do that.
Yeah. Anything else on... So yeah, this is going to be like the last romantic comedy that ever makes... How much did this end up, like, finishing the domestic box office with? It was a rough start. It did. Come on. Get me to where I'm going to go. Nope, you're going to do that weird thing, aren't you? 88.3 million in the United States. Like, that is impressive for a movie. Especially for a movie that opened fourth at the box office with 6.3 million. Like, that is fucking legs. It had some weekends where it increased. So word of mouth, because of horny TikTok,
mm-hmm.
you know, made this work. And... I don't know how we're going to get this again. There's not going to... I feel like with the way celebrities and culture are going to be, there's not going to be two people like this that are going to get people out into the theaters.
It's
and we've already seen that. Like, mm-hmm. her most recent horror movie didn't do great.
Well, Madame Web didn't do great.
What is... Madame.
Madame.
Madam.
Madam.
Oh man, I'm gonna buy that movie and I'm gonna nominate every movie with that word in the title. And you'll never win the reading challenge ever again. We'll see what happens with Twisters and he has something else coming. Oh, that's on Netflix, which is Hitman, which I'm very excited for. That looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that comes out in a couple weeks. But yeah, this is the world
I
we
think,
live in now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love seeing it, though. Every book that I read, I'm going to just imagine the two of them as, like, the characters now, you know? Because it's, like, it's perfect, but... Yeah. I mean, that's all. I don't have anything else to say on the matter.
Do you have anything else to say on anyone but you at all?
No.
All right.
I'd rather be doing this with anyone but you.
What the fuck? Man, when you get ready for bed tonight, I'm going to literally stand on the other side of that door while you're finishing going to the bathroom. You're going to come out there, I'm going to fucking yell at you in my dick hole.
Please don't do that. Hey! Please don't do that.
What you doing?
What? Is your dick hole Canadian? Why are you sounding like fucking Terrence and Phillip?
Hey, buddy! Yeah, that's what I've been doing the whole time. That's what my dick sounds. It's a famous male Canadian. My dick's named Michael J. Fox.
Monty, the Monty.
Doc, I can't get it to 8 inches.
Chris, I hate you so much. You're just so bad.
You nominated it, so I score first, huh? Oh, man. What score do you give this movie? Like, this is one of the most mind-boggling ones we have had, just because the biggest crime this movie commits, I feel like, is just being.
The biggest crime it commits is not committing.
Because
just like you said, like with Glenn Powell, he's like at like a 7 instead of a 10. Like he doesn't fully commit to owning that antagonism and being kind of like that bad boy love interest. Sydney Sweeney doesn't fully commit. We know she's a good actress because some of the stuff that she's done in Euphoria proves it.
Yeah.
I think that they just were fine being fine.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest problem with the movie.
I'm going to give the movie a 5.5.
That's exactly what I was giving it. It's a little better than okay for me.
Yeah, that's, I think a fair score for it in that.
And you know, the acting aside, the script is what promotes a lot of this score, for me at least.
The script, some of the acting, and just the predictability overshadows just some of the naturally sexy and...
Yeah.
And just...
Some of those, that natural stuff that they could have done.
This is a very average movie that, like, there's nothing bad about it. It just doesn't live up to, I think, what all the pieces could add up to be.
So, I agree, exactly.
So... 5.5 for anyone but you. The middle of the year is starting to get a little chunky there. That's not the right phrase, probably. Right. So next week we are going to try our damnedest to finally get around to the Prince of Egypt, and then we are going to start the Lord of the Rings franchise. Mm-hmm. We also have both Quiet Place movies coming up this summer. I have also selected... Or so I'm sorry, Samantha has selected.
I didn't do it on my, I was tricked.
The movie that we will be watching for my
I was tricked.
Victory for the reading challenge this go around. I picked 8 movies and made Samantha blindly pick the movie based on just numbers and tournaments. Yeah. We'll be watching Teton at some point very, very soon.
Not a fan.
Which we've talked about in this podcast several times before. And then I get to nominate movies.
We have to watch it when your mom is staying here. That's my only thing.
Because we blew up our Bo is Afraid spot? Okay, maybe. We'll see. No, she'll... No. We're not going to do that. Because she will fall asleep. And then she'll wake up and she'll be even more confused because she has to read the movie. My mom can't watch a foreign language film.
Hey, Mom.
Let's go on. my turn to nominate 2 movies, and look, we don't have a lot of things for the bottom of the barrel.
We've got a lot of stuff coming up for the bottom of the barrel, buddy. You can stay away from it.
I do. So, I went and just, I have a little, like, list of, like, what are the bad movies we have not watched at my disposal, and these two just, you know, 2 things that we... love and hate are superhero movies and the Leprechaun movies. So I picked the worst possible situation for each of them. So the movies I'm nominating are Avengers of Justice, Farce Wars, and Unlucky Charms.
I don't know anything you just said.
So Avengers of Justice, Farce Wars is like one of those like direct to DVD parody movies of superhero movies, starring Steve Ranazzisi from The League, Simon Rex, and Shawn Michaels. And Unlucky Charms is a movie I bought for my closing Hollywood Video probably 10 years ago that looks to be a somehow parody of the Leprechaun movies.
Oh, man, I think we're going to have to go with this Avengers of Justice.
Yes, movie. We are. I am so excited.
Because you didn't tell me Shawn Michaels is the Hulk.
No, I didn't. I left that out. Hey, that's former MVP on this podcast, Shawn
Michaels. Not for this, he's not going to be. I'll tell you what.
Literally, it's the cover of the DVD.
That's bad news. Bears here.
Avengers of Justice Farce Wars will be coming.
Amy Smart will do anything
for absolutely. Book. Yeah, she wants to know if you're going to eat the rest of that. We might watch this weekend. You never know.
Well, Andrew is going to be here.
Exactly. Anything can happen. So there might be next week's episode. Sorry, Prince of Egypt. We got Farce Wars to watch. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Merry Movies. We encourage you, as always, go to arcadeaudio.net for this podcast and the others in our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content. Facebook.com/MerryMovies. At MerryWMovies on Twitter. I still say Twitter, I realize. X. Everyone still calls it fucking Twitter. MerryWMovies@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show. For me, at your host, Malt38 on Instagram. For you,
at JamWithYourSam.
And, yeah, that's gonna do it. Tune in next week where we talk about our garage sale, Uncle Pop's visit, which sounds like a children's book that won the Newbery Award. And all kinds of, and if, hopefully, and all kinds of other fun stuff. But until then, I gotta go crank it to Sydney Sweeney.
You're disgusting. For Mullet.
This is Mullet.
Signing out for this week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
/ the movies. Is it because I say cranking? What is yours? Diddling?
Yeah, I'm going to diddle myself to Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's much nicer than saying cranking.
Diddling also has a negative connotation.
I'm just going to go masturbate. How about that? It's
either way worse. Why'd you add a syllable to it? It was so long.
Masturbate.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.